Welcome back to Weekend Early. Let's get right into the conversation I had with Bea Johnson. She is the zero waste lifestyle queen. She's the person who is going around the world telling people how they can get involved with the zero waste lifestyle and how they can apply these principles in their own lives. It was a fantastic conversation I had with her this week, and she was a lovely, lovely person. I asked her just to start off with what it's like being the queen of the zero waste lifestyle.
I didn't call myself that, but I'll take it. I'll take the title.
And you're on tour in across South Africa, actually across the world, talking about this lifestyle that you've been working on for the last quite a few years.
Almost a decade,
where you're effectively reducing the amount of refuse and garbage you put out into the world.
Yes.
So how did that get started? Why did you decide to try and reduce that as much as possible in the first place?
Well, what happened was that in 2006, we were living in a house outside of San Francisco, and it was located on a cul-de-sac, which meant that we had to get into a car to do just about anything. Go to the grocery store, the schools, movie theater, restaurant. And we wanted to be closer to a downtown so we could do these things within walking or biking distance, just like the life we had known in the big cities we had lived in. We had lived in London, Amsterdam, Paris, where we did everything walking and biking. So we decided to relocate, but before finding the right house in that downtown, we rented an apartment for 1 year, and we only moved in with the necessities. We put the rest in storage. And during that year, we had an epiphany. We found that when you live with less, then you have more time to do what's important to you. More time for friends, for family, for picnics, and for hikes. So when we did find the right house in that downtown, we got everything out of storage, and we found that 80% of the belongings we had put in there, we hadn't missed for a whole year. So we let go of it.
Sure.
And then it's with thanks to that voluntary simplicity that we had time to educate ourselves on environmental issues. We read some books, watched some documentaries, and there what we found made my husband really sad, thinking about the future that we were going to leave behind for our kids, the future that we were creating for them. And that's what gave us the motivation to change our ways. So we watched our energy consumption, our water consumption, and then I turned towards the waste.
Mm.
But back then, zero waste was a term that was only used to describe manufacturing practices or waste management at a city level. It was not something that was used to describe something you do at home. But when I saw that term, the light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, well, that's what we should do. If zero is not the goal, then what is the goal? Is it a little bit less waste, medium waste, a tiny bit of waste? No, if you have zero in your head, then it really helps you to push things further.
So it wasn't just about the garbage. It was about the stuff that you had collected around you. I mean, I 2 years ago, I moved from one flat to another, and I was shocked at how much, for lack of a better word, junk we had collected around us. I'm like, there was two of us. How did we manage to get all the stuff going? So it's not just about how much stuff you're putting out there, but how much stuff you're bringing into your home as well.
Yeah, you know, it's very important to realize that when you're collecting things, you're stopping them from being useful to someone else. And that's why it's one of the rules of the zero waste lifestyle is to let go of the things that you do not really use or need. Because when you let go of it, you put these valuable resources, because things are valuable resources in themselves. You put them back on the market, you allow for others to have access to them, and it boosts the secondhand market, which is extremely important for the future of zero waste. We only buy secondhand, so we want to make sure that when we do want to buy something, we can find it secondhand.
There's more stuff available on the market.
Exactly.
So practically speaking, it seems quite difficult. It seems difficult and complicated, and something that you kind of have to manage constantly and constantly think about, you know, how to shop effectively. Because if you take a walk to any of our local supermarkets, everything has a package. You know, everything has something that might not be disposable, or at least biodegradable. It might not be compostable. How do you manage that? Is it as difficult as I have in my head?
Well, people tend to think that the zero waste lifestyle is complicated because, of course, the term zero waste, like, scared the crap out of people. Because automatically you think, oh my gosh, this is so different from what I do that it's got to be complicated. And people are used to doing things a certain way. So they think that, you know, that lifestyle has to be complicated if it's so different. But it's just a different way of living. Of course, it's a different system that you need to adopt. It's going to take a while for you to get used to that, but once you have that system in place, you really regret not starting earlier. Now we apply my methodology of 5 R's is actually of my methodology of 5 rules is quite simple, and if you follow that methodology, automatically your waste is drastically reduced. So the first rule is to refuse what you do not need. The second is to reduce what you do actually need. Decluttering, like we mentioned.
Get rid of stuff.
So that's only, that's the second rule. The third rule is to reuse by swapping anything disposable for a reusable alternative and by secondhand if you need to buy something. Then the fourth rule is to recycle, but recycle only what you cannot refuse, reduce, or reuse. And finally, it's rot, which is composting, composting the rest.
So you really work your way down those 5 R's.
So this is really when we're in any situation, it's the first rule is, can I, do I really need this? Can I refuse it? I mean, is do I need it? For example, in the, you know, in this consumer society, we're the targets of many, many promotional goods, free stuff, plastic bags, flyers, business cards, free pen from a conference, junk mail. But every time we accept those things, we're creating a demand to make more. And then once we bring it into our home, it clutters our space, and then once it breaks, or you know, once we want to discard it, it's waste. So when we say no on the spot, when the thing is actually handed out to us, we can stop the demand and we can stop these things from coming into our home. So the first rule to a zero waste lifestyle is to simply learn to say no. It's as simple as that. Next time someone hands out something to you, you know, think about it. Do you really need it? Do you need another plastic bag? Could you maybe bring a tote instead? So it's just, it's in our society, sometimes it can appear rude to say no to things, but we have simple sentences that have allowed us to simply say no. So if someone tries to give me a business card, I say, oh, no, thank you, I don't need it. Or, no, thank you, I'm a minimalist. That gets me out of a lot of situations. And if I go to a new grocery store where I present my jar to the meat or fish counter and I ask them to put it in my jar and they're like, why? I'm like, yeah, I don't have a trash can. They're like, oh, okay. And then they put it in.
Oh, I see. Because so, I was watching one of your videos on your YouTube channel, and this is what you were doing. You go to the grocery store with a bunch of jars, and anything that goes, that could go in a plastic container or a piece of paper or something, you ask them to put in the jar and they're fine with it.
So yeah, we buy our food in bulk. So we've elected the grocery store that offers the most bulk, the most unpackaged items to us or in our town. And so we go to the grocery store with a shopping kit. That shopping kit are totes. It's cloth bags to buy anything dry. Flour, sugar, salt, cereal. And then we bring glass jars for anything that's wet. For environmental reasons, we've reduced our meat and fish consumption. We buy it once or twice a week, although while I'm gone, I'm sure my husband is buying more than that. But we bring glass jars to the meat, fish, deli, cheese counter, and they put it straight into the glass jar. And that's how we've been able to eliminate packaging from our life. And it's been quite simple. Then once we're home, we don't have to deal with the packaging anymore. We don't have to take the trash cans out.
Yeah, so you really are stopping the flow before it even gets into your home. So that's first problem.
We really feel that we do zero waste just once a week. That's when we go to the grocery store with our totes. And when you stop waste from coming in, then you don't have to deal with it later.
You see, that doesn't seem as complicated as I thought originally.
No, it's not.
And you know, you're going around the world on this tour and you're kind of telling, you know, you're professing the gospel of zero waste, so to speak. But you really practice what you preach, because one of the things that you do is every year you put as much, you try and reduce your entire yearly waste into one tiny jar. And is that the jar that you have?
Yes, it is. So this is our trash for 2016, and it fits in a glass jar of half a liter.
See, that is incredible. I mean, I'm looking at this jar, and it's not even, you haven't even really jammed the stuff in there. What kind of?
I don't know. I don't think you want to open it.
Yeah,
I
what's going
to
happen?
Just pop open.
What kind of things would we find if we did manage to get it open in there?
Well, so what's in that glass jar are basically all the things that my family could not refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, or rot. So in the U.S., I don't know if it's the case here, but in the U.S., if we buy produce from the supermarket, it's going to have fruit and veggie stickers on them.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the case here. So
especially with our avocados. Every single one.
Well, and I know the local grocery store, the corner shop, has three stickers on each fruit and vegetable. It's totally crazy. But anyway, so this is something you can eliminate if you go to the farmer's market, but we don't, you know, like for example, this Friday, I'm here. I'm not at the farmer's market. So in that case, my husband will probably be buying it from the supermarket. So it has stickers on them. We have the caulking from the back of the sink. You know, it gets a little mold in it. And so once every 6 months to a year, I change the joints, the caulking in the back of the sink. So the old caulking is in the jar. We don't buy Band-Aids, or I think you call them plasters.
Band-Aids work as well. Yeah.
So we don't buy them because we found we actually don't need them. But my kid went on a bike race and he wiped out. And before he could say, no, thanks, I don't need a Band-Aid, he was kind of in shock. So they put a Band-Aid on him. Of course, as soon as he got home, we removed it and then he went into the jar. We use compostable toothbrushes. They're wooden toothbrushes, but the bristles are not compostable. So we remove them and they end up in the jar. It's kind of gross, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, that's like your gross jar. This is mind-boggling to me because almost every evening, I mean, we're a family of four, and almost every evening without fail, there's an argument over who's going to take out the bag of trash that we have collected over there.
That does not happen at my house.
And just from eliminating that conversation alone makes it worth it. Has your family, did they take a bit of convincing to get into this kind of new way of thinking?
So not the kids, because the kids did not even notice we were living a zero waste lifestyle. It's not something, you know, if you think about it, actually, zero waste is more what you do outside the house than what you do inside the house. It's the person that consumes for the household that has the choice to either not consume or consume differently by buying food in bulk or buying clothing items or furniture secondhand. All our wardrobes fit in carry-ons, so we have very few pieces of clothing, very few pieces of furniture. We only need to buy something, you know, a couple of times a year. So this is not something we really worry about, but this is something I take care of. So I'm the one that has to source it secondhand. Same for the groceries. I buy the groceries. So it was up to the parents, the people that consume for the household, to eliminate waste from coming into our home. But since I go grocery shopping, zero waste had basically come into our life kind of undetected by the children. We did a field trip with the children at the health food store where they were selling the food in bulk. And in front of the bulk, the teacher asked, why is it good to buy in bulk? And my son just sat there. He didn't say anything. And I wanted to slap him in the back of the head answer.
We've been doing this for years.
You know why. But it dawned on me at that time that I had applied zero waste in our home and it had gone totally undetected because the kids were happy with what's provided. Once we got home, I opened the pantry and I asked my son, do you notice something in our pantry compared with your friends' pantries? And he said, no. I said, well, we don't have packaging. And he was like, well, so? Like, they don't care as long as they have a cookie that they like, you know, a cereal that they like when they get up in the morning. They're happy. You know, they're dressed like me. I don't think you can necessarily tell that I am dressed from head to toe secondhand. And yes, even my little heels.
That's fantastic.
But my kids are the same. They're wearing things that maybe they would have bought at, you know, H&M or whatever, Gap or whatever. But we've bought those things secondhand. And so they present themselves just like anyone else. They look like the typical teenager with the skinny jeans and the V-neck T-shirt. But my husband was the one that I had to convince in a way. When we got started, it was in the midst of the recession, so we didn't have any money coming in. Things were really financially difficult. They were tight. And my husband saw me go to the health food store with my totes and jars, and he saw me buy jars for certain, you know, to store our bulk. And he said, you know, we can't afford to do this. And so I asked him to compare our bank statements. And because people on the blog were saying the same thing, like, oh, zero waste is too expensive. And my husband then found that we were saving 40% on our overall budget, comparing the zero waste lifestyle with the lifestyle before zero waste. That's due to the fact that we consume way, way less than before. We're happy with the number of things we have in our home. We're no longer adding to it. If we buy something, it's only to replace what needs to be replaced. A t-shirt that's too small, a sneaker that has a shoe in a hole in it. And then when we buy the replacement, we buy it secondhand, which obviously costs less. But we also buy our food in bulk. You know, when you buy something that is packaged, 15% of the price covers the cost of the packaging. So when you buy in bulk, you make an automatic 15% savings. But we've also replaced anything that's disposable for a reusable alternative. So that means that we're no longer throwing our money away. If you buy something that is single use, it's literally, you know, you buy it, you use it, you throw it away. It's literally throwing your money away. Mm. We've stopped all that. So it's translated into huge cumulative savings over time.
And I suppose, I mean, that's what these companies want you to do. They want you to spend as much money as humanly possible. So they design as much of their products for single use, with big packaging, with all that kind of extra uselessness, I suppose.
Yeah, this consumerist society was really created by manufacturers and their powerful marketers to create in us needs that didn't exist before. They're promising time savings and money savings in our, you know, in our busy schedules, but it's not the case. If you think about it, all those disposables, let's take the case of paper towels. You have to go to the store to buy those things. You have to put them in your car. You have to, in our case, it would be logging them 36 steps up to our landing. Then you have to store these things. Then once you use them, you have to separate them. In the case of paper towel, it's you have to separate the plastic from the paper, from the cardboard. Mm. And then you fill a trash bag, which you have also purchased, to then put it, you know, take it all on the curb for it to be picked up. And then you have to go back to the store to buy those things. We've eliminated all those disposable items. It's not only huge financial savings, but it's also translates into huge savings of time, not having to go to the store to buy those things.
Oh, see, like,
not having to deal with them.
You're definitely making you're selling me on this, because you're winning and convincing me. So I wanted to know, though, what was potentially the hardest part of this? Was there a point where you were like, "Phew, this is tough even for me"?
So I think the hardest part was really to find a system that worked for us. When I got started, I got a little bit too wrapped up in homemaking. And I see that a lot of the blogs that have emerged from me are kind of, emerged from mine are kind of doing the same thing. It's sometimes just easy to make things, so you don't have to try to find them in bulk. And when I got started, I was making my own bread, my own cheese, my own butter, my own soy milk, until I realized that there was no way that I was going to be able to stick to a zero waste lifestyle with two full-time jobs in our household for the long run, for life. Mm. So then we let go of all these extremes. Instead of making our own cheese, I decided, well, maybe we can bring our jar to, you know, the cheese counter. They make cheese much better than that. Instead of making bread, let's just bring a pillowcase, you know, or like a cloth bag to the bakery. They make bread much better than I do. So little by little, we found a system that worked for us, something that we can see ourselves sticking to in the long run for life. For us, the zero waste lifestyle was never a short-term project, something we test out for a little bit. It was always a lifestyle, and we wanted to really find things or solutions that we could see ourselves doing for the rest of our life. So that's why now, you know, once we let go of the extremes, once we found that system, then everything became easy and automatic. And that since 2010, it's just been, you know, on autopilot.